Well, tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. So if you would find your place there, Matthew chapter 6. Many of you know a kind of a running theme of our church is actually out of Acts 2:42. I'm going to read that before we stand, but you can find your place there in Matthew chapter 6. But Acts 2:42 says this, talking of the early church, just after the day of Pentecost, just after the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now you understand the church was already in existence before Pentecost, but at the day of Pentecost, the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit and began to minister to the world that way through the Holy Spirit's power. And what did they do? This is the first church. What did they do? What did they give themselves to? Well, it says in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly. I like that, because what are they're just continuing what they've already been doing. There's a lot of denominations out there that say this is where the church started. Well, how would they continue if they're starting? So they're continuing really what Jesus started, and here's what they're going to continue doing. They're going to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There's a lot of doctrine out there that is not the apostles' doctrine.
Right.
And that was already starting to make its way even in that early church. And they continue in fellowship. And they need to, because church is not just doctrine, although doctrine is very important. And we're going to beat that drum until the end of time, until Jesus comes back. Doctrine is very important, has been always, will continue to be. Even into the end of time, there's false doctrine being proclaimed, but Antichrist and all that. So doctrine's important, but it's not just doctrine, is it? It's also fellowship. Church is a congregation of people where we gather together. We do, yes, sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God and receive the doctrine, but we also need to fellowship. I'm thankful for days like this, for Fellowship Sunday, and for ladies' fellowships, and for men's breakfasts, and these times. And by the way, breaking of bread's the next one. So fellowship as a church, but then fellowshipping outside of church functions, and that you gather together and spend time with each other just because, like, you're friends, right? We should be friends. Your closest friends should be in this building. The ones who are on fire for the Lord, the ones who are continuing in the doctrine of the apostles, the ones who are heading the same direction as you, who has more of a, there should be nobody in your life that you have more of a common interest with than your church family, right? You share the same faith. You share the same doctrine. You're heading the same direction, and you ought to be friends with each other. We need that. Breaking of bread. But then the last one is this, and in prayers. And in prayers. And that's going to be our subject tonight, this afternoon, whatever time it is. And we've been dealing with that. We've added, you know, the corporate prayer, which I think has been just a blessing for our church. I think it's there's just something special about praying together corporately as a corporate body. And on Sunday nights, that's what we do. Tonight we're going to have a quicker one, just kind of like last week. But it's good for us to gather together corporately, praying as a church family for a specific thing. It's good. We pray corporately at men's breakfast. As far as I understand, you pray in ladies' fellowship, and you even have prayer partners, all that. But we're going to be in Matthew 6 today because I said this, but we're going to really focus on it today. But corporate prayer is the title of the message. I'll give it to you before we even stand. Corporate prayer depends on personal prayer. Corporate prayer depends on personal prayer. Prayer cannot just be something we do in public. It cannot be just something we do in public. The Bible's clear that corporate prayer is a big part of a church family's life. We proved that last time. But it cannot replace personal prayer life. And so Jesus is going to teach his disciples here how to pray. We're going to get some nuts and bolts about prayer today. So if you wouldn't want to stand as we turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start our reading in verse 5, and we'll go all the way through verse 15. Jesus says this, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And be ye not therefore likened to them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to stop reading there. Again, the title is this: Corporate Prayer Depends on Personal Prayer. Let's pray and get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity that's brought here. Help us, God, to, Lord, by the end of this service, have a good idea of what prayer is, how it works. And then, Lord, if we're not already, that we would establish a personal relationship and prayer life with you. And God, if we have that, there's always room to improve our prayer life. And God, that we would make it a priority to pray and speak to you, because you're our God and you love us. And help us, God, to recognize that today. We love you, Christ, and I pray. Amen. Amen. May you be seated. And so salvation is more than religious exercise you perform, isn't it? It's not a ritual that makes you saved. There's no sacrament that makes you saved. There's none of that. Salvation is the beginning, listen, of a personal relationship with God. When Jesus said, actually in Matthew 7, you know, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this or that? And what does Jesus say? Depart from me, you trick iniquity. What does he say? For I never knew you. Because salvation is a personal relationship with God. That's what the foundation of our salvation is. It's a relationship that we have with our Creator. A recognition, first of all, that we deserve hell. Recognition that we don't deserve a relationship with our Creator, but that we want a relationship with our Creator. And because of what He did for us, we can have a relationship again with Him. As He intended from the beginning, as He had with Adam and Eve, we can have a relationship with God. The moment you were saved, you became a child of God. We talked about that this morning. You've become a child of God. God sent His Son to die for your sins so that you can have a personal relationship with Him and become His Son and He your Father. And that's why we're brothers and sisters, because God's all of our fathers. When you get saved, you become Brother Tim or Brother Steve or Brother Dustin, right? Or Brother Brayson. We can do that. They're our brothers in Christ. Why? Because their salvation has put them in an intimate relationship with God, and God has become their Father and God has become our Father when we're saved. And so we have to be developing, and God wants you, as your Heavenly Father, He wants you to develop a growing, intimate, vibrant relationship with Him as His child. And we know this about relationships, that relationships always, always thrive on communication, don't they? Always thrive on communication. If you're going to have a good relationship, I'm not telling you if you're going to have a relationship. I'm saying if you're going to have a good relationship, you're going to communicate with this person. Right? Your husband and wife relationship depends on communication. Now it's established with a piece of paper and vows we make to one another, but it's a good relationship when there's good flowing communication, right? The same is true with a parent-child relationship or a friend-to-friend relationship. If you never talk to your friend, like they might have been your friend before, but if you've not talked to them in 3 years, there's a good chance that maybe you shouldn't call them friend. Like, they used to know a friend. Maybe we need to reconnect and be friends again, you know? Because relationship is, the foundation of it is communication. They thrive on that. And obviously, there's no difference between that and your relationship with God. In fact, the reason why relationships are that way is God created it to be that way, right? God created us to be relational beings. God designed us to thrive on communication with one another. That's partly why God gave us a church, remember, for fellowship and for communion with each other, for a kinship, a relationship with each other. But God designed us that way because He wants us to have a relationship with Him, you see. That's what God desires. He wants a relationship with you. And so communication with God, it needs to be a way of life for you. It can't just be a show you do on Sundays and Wednesdays. That's not what we're talking about. You can trick anybody into thinking you're right with God, but to be right with God requires an actual thriving walk with Him, you see. Yeah. And so you need to really allow a specific time every day that you communicate with God. And here's the thing. Why is it, okay, if it's a personal relationship, why do we have to like pencil it in or decide a time? Well, if you're a parent who has young children, then you understand this, right? If I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. She just turned 1 2 days ago. And if my wife and I went to talk, sadly, it's going to have to be pretty much intentional and almost penciled in, right? Because if we don't do that, we're not going to talk very much, you know? That's what dates are, right? It's a time where we focus on each other and talk to each other. That's not unfeeling. That's not uncaring. That's born out of a desire to have a thriving relationship with your spouse, right? And God wants a thriving relationship with you. And here's the thing. If you are not intentional about talking with God, you will not talk to Him. How do you know that? Well, because there's a lot pulling against that. The devil doesn't want you talking to God, obviously. He gets a lot of credit that maybe he doesn't deserve. Your flesh doesn't want to talk to God. How do you know that? Well, because our flesh is at enmity with Him. There's a sin nature within us. And every time, Paul said, when you're saved, there's a spirit and there's a flesh within you. And they're at enmity, they're opposition, they're opposed one to another. And the Bible says that you cannot do that you would. And so Paul says, every time you do anything, you're not going to do what you want. What? Well, because there's going to be something you want to do you're not doing, always, as a Christian. Sorry, it's just the truth. What do you mean? If you follow God, there's a part of you that doesn't want to. You see? There's your flesh pulling that way. If you follow your flesh as a saved person, there ought to be a part of you that doesn't want to do that. That's why a saved person can't just live a wicked lifestyle and be okay with it. They're miserable. There's nothing more miserable than a saved person who is trying to live life without God, because there is the Holy Spirit within them that does not leave, and He will continue to pull that way. But there are always, always, there's a part of you that doesn't want to do what you're doing. And when you're talking to God, when you're praying to God, there's a part of you, your flesh, that says, I don't want to do this. I don't want to bow before God. I don't want to spend this time. When you're reading your Bible in the morning, your flesh tells you, you do not have time. It's going to take too long. It takes like 5 minutes to read a chapter. I don't have time for this, so I'm going to do this for 15 minutes. No, you have time. Your flesh makes it feel like you don't have time. But I did it at camp. I talked to the teens, and there was a message about being in your Bible every day. Because, by the way, this isn't a message today, but it is part of it. God communicates with you, doesn't He? Whoa, that was awesome. Here it is, still intact, did it bend. God, that was awesome. God communicates with you through His Word. We'll leave all that there. God communicates with you through His Word, always. He does. He's given you His Word. It's there. It's there. God has said to you what He wants to say to you. And as you open it up and read, He'll the Holy Spirit's job is to take what God has said and then apply it to your life in a personal way. That's what He does. He doesn't give you new revelation. He takes what God has said, it's done, and He applies it to your life. And so God is always, on His end, communicating with you. So we need to listen. You see? How do we listen to God? We read His Word. You see? We read His Word. And I talked to the youth about this at camp. There was a message about being in the Bible every day. And by the way, we put in this Bible our eternity in its hands. You see? You are resting your eternity on what this book says. You don't read it every day? That was kind of the point. This should be a priority. We ought to be in this book every day. But when you do that, your flesh is going to say you can't do that. I had the teens read Genesis 1 through 3. Maybe you should try this sometime. But read Genesis 1 through 3 and time yourself. See how long it takes. The longest it took for our teenagers to read Genesis 1 through 3 was 23 minutes. Did you know that's how long it takes to read your Bible in a year? If you spend 23 minutes or less, well, however long it takes you, but I'd imagine not more than half an hour a day, you'll read your Bible through in a year. But your flesh tells you don't have time. You have another Netflix episode to watch. you've got too many things on Facebook that you've missing out on, you know? But we have time. We just need to make time. But our flesh is pulling, you see. It's pulling. Okay. And so God is speaking to you through His Word. It's already happening. You need to be in the Bible every day. You need to make His Word a priority in your life. You need, when the Bible is open, when a man of God is studied, it doesn't matter if it's me, it doesn't matter what man of God's up here, if anybody has given time to truly study the Word of God and has gotten with God about His Word and has studied it out and you are going to benefit for 1 hour out of the hours and hours of time that man has studied that passage, and it's going to be explained to you, opened up, explained, exposited, and applied to your life. That's awesome. That's the preaching of the Word. That's God's plan. And so when that's happening, that ought to be a big deal to us. We ought to try to be here. Now, there's things that keep us from. If you're sick and especially contagious, then don't come, okay? Maybe, because we don't all want to miss church next week. Amen. But there's times that you can't be. You're out of town, obviously, things like that. But it should be a priority. That's the point. It doesn't really matter your attendance chart. No one's getting a gold sticker. But what matters is that the preaching of the Word is important. There's not much more important than that. And so we need to be ready to hear from the Word of God. That's how we listen to Him. But as you know, communication is more than one way. Communication is both ways. God's not interested in just a lecture. He's not interested in just communicating to you, but then never being communicated to. But God's also not interested in you doing all the talking and you never listening. And so we need both, don't we? We need to be in His Word and we need to be in prayer, you see. And the apostles knew that. They asked Him about that. And when we get to Matthew 6, He's going to deal with that. Prayer basically is just how you communicate with God. It's nothing mystical. It's nothing complicated. It's when you bow, physically is helpful, but at the least, humbled your heart before God, acknowledging who He is, and then communicating to Him. Now, I've heard people say, God's not scared of me. I can talk to Him however I want. Well, the issue is not God being scared of you. We need to know who God is. God's our friend. God's our Father, but He is still the creator of the universe. And we need to make sure that we're being reverent when we speak to Him, but we can boldly approach His throne at any time. Not because of any authority we have, but because of what Christ did for us. We can come before Him, and all it is, seriously, is just talking directly to God. That's prayer. We don't have to go through a priest to talk to God. Actually, we can't anymore. That's not how it works anymore. Christ is our high priest. We are all priests, Hebrews says. We don't go to a man and then the man relay the message to God. We can go directly to God. And when we pray, we're reaching a God who is limitless. We have to remember who we're praying to. He's a limitless, all-powerful, all-knowing God who loves you more than you know. When you pray, you're praying to a God who knows everything. You're praying to a God who is perfectly in control of all things. You're praying to a God who can perform miracles. You're praying to a God, by the way, who knows exactly what you're going through. This is who we're talking to. And so, in our passage, Jesus wants to clear off a spot and teach His disciples how to pray. Because in that day, there was, we talked about this morning, a Pharisaical mindset and a ritualistic mindset. And everything was all these little prescriptions of things. And you just do this, and you're good. And God's saying, no, it's not that. We can't just do this. It needs to be a personal relationship. It needs to be from the heart. It needs to be a born out of a thriving relationship with our God. And so He's correcting the ritualistic ways of the Pharisees and helping His disciples to learn how to truly pray to our God. And it starts in verse 5. And so He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets. And so prayer needs to be without pride. Prayer needs to be without pride. It's wrong to pretend. Listen, it's wrong to pretend to be communicating with God when your only interest is with people hearing you. You see? Don't pretend to talk to God when your desire is to be heard of men. You see? That's what Jesus is saying. That's what the Pharisees did. They prayed openly so everyone can see that they checked their boxes and they were keeping their walk with God right. But it's not about checking boxes. It's about a walk with our God. Here's Jesus' point. His point is not to ever pray in front of people. Because again, we proved it over and over. The apostles did that. The early church did that. They prayed with each other. They prayed openly among each other. They did that. They were heard of each other. So he's not saying never pray where people can hear you. What he's saying is this: if we're able to express ourselves eloquently and impressively when others are around, but then if we're by ourselves kneeling on the floor and we can't figure out what to say, there's a problem. You see? Because prayer is fundamentally with God. And if others are around, then great, but that's not, others aren't the first part of this equation, you see. Yeah. And so we need to be making sure that we're praying to God and not to men. Next thing is this, prayer needs to be without ritualism. Look at verse 7. We're going to go through this quickly. He says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore likened to them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Here's what he says, vain repetition. What's vain? Vain means empty. Vain means useless repetition. And there are people in our world, many, many people in our world, who recite and repeat prayers written by somebody else. By the way, even a prayer written by our Lord, which we're about to go through, the Lord's Prayer. And he's going to give the Lord's Prayer soon. And before he did, he said, don't repeat this. Don't repeat prayers. That's not communication. Brother Tim, you are a good guy. They're not communicating. You don't read to somebody else and you communicate. You don't read what other people said when you communicate with people. Jesus says, use not vain repetition, because that's what the heathen do, he said. That's what the heathen do. Look what he says. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, because they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. The heathen pray to gods who are fake. They pray to graven images, and they know they're graven images. They know it's just a rock that somebody carved to look like something. And so they know when they're talking to the rock in an intimate, personal way, it's awkward. I don't talk to rocks. They don't hear me. And when people pray to false gods, they know in their heart it's not real. And so it's awkward to just talk to it. So what they do is they have somebody write down something to say so that they feel religious and special. And they read it in front of the rock. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't be like them. We're not heathens. We're praying to a God who actually hears us and wants to hear from us. You see. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what he had need of. We don't recite prayers to God. And then he says, in verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Jesus says, I'm going to give you a sample of what you might say when you pray. But he was very clear not to repeat this to God. That is vain repetition, empty. He wants to hear from us, you see. So then he gives an example. This is the manner that you can pray. These are things that you can pray about. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You will never, ever see in Valley Avenue Baptist Church, as long as I'm pastor, us reciting this prayer together as a church. It goes against what Jesus says. Do not vainly repeat prayers. But here's what Jesus is doing. He's giving them a model. And by the way, I made little bookmarks. They're out on the table. And it kind of goes through the model prayer and gives you things to pray for. Let me explain to you this. He's giving, this is a masterful prayer. By the way, surprising, as Jesus is praying to his Father. But by the way, I don't even want to call this the Lord's Prayer. This is not God's prayer to the Father either. How do you know that? Well, because forgive us our debts. Jesus doesn't have debts, right? He doesn't have sins that need forgiven. He's just helping us know what to pray about. You see? That's all he's doing. He's helping us know what to pray about. First one is this, worship. Worship. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is, like we said, God is our Father, he is our friend, but he is the God of the universe. And his name ought to be revered and honored and worshipped. And so as we pray to God, you can spend a whole prayer time just reflecting on who God is and telling him, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being the God who is faithful to me. Thank you for being a good God to me. Reflect on his name. Reflect on who he is. Reflect on his attributes. Reflect on his deeds, what he's done for you. Hallowed be thy name. And it would be a good prayer just to talk all about who God is and thank him for it. And then the next one is surrender. Verse 10, surrender. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so you surrender your will to God when you pray. Whatever your plans are, say, God, I have plans, but I want your will to be done today. You see? And this is personal. You need to tell God what your plans are. You don't just say, thy will be done, you know? No, you say, God, I, you know what my plans are today, but I don't care what my plans are. I want your will to be done through my life today. You see? The next one is dependence. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, you know, this has been used for reading scripture, and there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but in the context, it's literally like our food. Like God provides for us. God, I'm depending on you to provide me for my needs. I need for you. I'm depending on you for my health. I'm depending on you for my daily needs. I'm depending on you for my future. It's all you're the one who's going to give me what I need. You see? And so you're depending on him. Verse 12, it talks about confession. Again, this is Jesus doesn't need to do any confession with the Father, does he? But we do. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so we need to confess to God what we've done. And every time you approach God, there's a pretty good chance since last time there's some things you need to talk about. And confess to God some thoughts you've had that weren't right, or some actions you've done that weren't right, or some words you said that weren't right. And then ask God to help you forget to forgive others as God forgives you, you see. Verse 13, he says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so in this world, there's things that will tempt us. There's our flesh, we've already talked about, that pulls away, and there's the world system, and there's billboards and magazine ads and internet and social media, and there's those kind of temptations. There's temptations of just our own desires. That we know what God wants, but there's always that part of us that doesn't want to do what God wants, and we need God's help to be delivered from that. You can't face this day by yourself, you see. But you don't just pray and lead us not into temptation. You know, you need to say, God, I need you today, and it'd be good for you to be very specific about what you're about to face. As I head to work. And there's my coworkers who say this or say that, and help me to be bold. Help me to not give in to the pressure of the workplace. Even as you wake up and you're with your family, that God would help you to be patient and loving with them, and your children who do what they're not supposed to do all the time. Help that God would give you deliverance from the temptation to get on their case and to blow them up, but to help them and to guide and direct them. And you need God to deliver you from temptation today. And it's not a mechanical words that we have written down and read. We need to talk to God about these things. Yeah. And then The last part of that verse, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And so we praise God. We praise God. He deserves praise. He deserves praise for who he is, for what he's done. Give God the glory for everything that happens. Are you following? This is how we pray to God. It's a personal relationship that God wants with us. Yeah. But obviously there's a lot more that can be said about prayer. Jesus is really scratching the surface. Jesus is peeling back a false thinking and false teachings about prayer. And so he's peeling back this ritualistic, really heathen prayer with Christ's name put on it back. And we're just getting down to the fundamentals to say this. And you know, when we say this, it should be obvious, but it's just not. Prayer needs to be intimate with your God. God loves you. And God wants you to talk to him. And so we need to do that. Don't go day after day after day without talking to your Creator. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to speak with you. He wants you to speak with him. Develop a personal walk with God. And then as that is taking place, then our corporate prayer life will just be on fire. You see? As we pray and we have a personal walk with God, and then we gather together and built on that personal prayer life, gather together and pray to our Father, we'll see that the place will be shaken. Like it was in Acts, remember that? But fundamentally, we can't lose sight of this. We can't let corporate prayer or any prayer become ritualistic. It's always, fundamentally, talking to our God, talking to our Heavenly Father, who knows what we need before we ask, but wants us to come before him. He doesn't want us to tell him because he needs to know. He wants us to come before him because he wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to you. God wants you to talk to him. And that's pretty awesome. We don't deserve that. Not only does he let us, he wants us to talk to him. So if it's been a while for you, if you've gotten too busy and you've not spent time with your God every day, let's get that back out. Let's dust it off and get our prayer life where it needs to be. And I know that you'll be benefited by that. I know that that's what God would desire. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for, again, just how clear it is. God, help us to not vainly repeat. Help us to not get into a rut. But help us, Lord, to develop a vibrant, growing relationship with our God. Thank you for being so good to us. We're so unworthy. Lord, I pray that you help us today as we go our separate ways here in just a moment. Keep us safe, please. We need you for that. That you keep us safe on the roads and help us, God, to remember who you are as we go our separate ways. We need you for that. There's so much pulling against us. Help us, God, to be intentional and follow you. Help us to impact the community who needs you. And Lord, as we just in a moment consider some of our church family's prayer needs, that you would be with us and that you would be with each of them. And that you would help us to be a church family who loves you and then loves one another. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 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 So very quickly.